Welcome to Your Cathedral Podcast, a podcast from the Cathedral Church of St. Luke and St. Paul in Charleston, South Carolina. For more information on our church, please visit yourcathedral.org.
Alleluia! Christ is risen!
Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
Thank you. Do you know it's 50 days for Easter? We don't limit ourselves to one day of Easter. It's 50 whole days, so we can say that for 50 days. Happy Easter to you. It's still Easter. Thank you. We've got 40 days till the Ascension and then another 10 till Pentecost, so we'll keep on celebrating. These 40 days in the early church, in the early years of the church, were a season of celebration like we do now, and it was a season of continued instruction in the faith for the newly baptized. They continued in their classes and in their courses to meditate and think about the Easter mysteries and what they had been through all the way through their catechism classes, and then Holy Week, and then Easter, the Easter Vigil, all of that. They meditate on it, they take it in, and then they think about and plan how they're going to live their lives and grow closer to God in discipleship. So it's a time really of intense teaching and formation. The word used in the early church was a 50-cent word I'll give you for free today. It was called mystagogia. You can say that. Mystagogia. Yeah. It's literally being led through the mysteries. And so during this season of Easter, we're led through the mysteries by focusing on creating that space to really take in the Word of God, to meditate on it, and to see how Jesus is calling us to live our lives and to encounter Him in our lives. At this cathedral parish, we're going to also observe this focused time of study with preaching on the gospel readings each Sunday throughout the Easter season. And then you take it home. You take home the readings, you take home the thoughts. I'll send you home with some questions to ponder for yourself, for your families. And then especially in our community groups, we're going to be going over those questions, talking about them, sharing our life in Christ with one another and what we're gaining out of the gospel and how we want to live our lives more faithfully as disciples of Jesus. So today we look at the very first day of resurrection. This is the evening of the resurrection that our gospel has for today. And then it also spans the whole week after with Thomas's story. Next week we have the disciples on the road to Emmaus, where they also encounter Jesus. They don't recognize him at first, but they encounter him and he meets with them, and then their eyes are opened. And then the rest of the Easter season, we look at those wonderful pronouncements that Jesus makes, those I am statements. When he says to us, I am the door in the Good Shepherd story. When he says to us, I am the true vine. When he says to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in those I am statements of Jesus revealing who he is, we also encounter him. So we'll be talking about all those through this Easter season. The point of focusing our gospel preaching series on this in the season of Easter is a personal encounter with the risen Christ. This week, Jesus encounters the 10 and then the 11. And he does so in a very personal, upfront, he's present way. Not just a head knowledge or an acquaintance, but this deep, intimate knowing and being known by Jesus Christ. And we're invited into that relationship that we might know the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of God's love for us. That's what our heart's cry is, and that's our highest joy. And he meets us right there at our point of need and our point of joy. Think about last Sunday as we had the gospel reading of the resurrection. And in our lectionary, we read the story from John just right before this, where Jesus is risen and Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb and doesn't see him. And she's weeping. And he comes up behind her and she thinks he's the gardener. And she said, well, where is he? Where have you put him? She's weeping. I don't know where my Lord is. You've taken him away. And all it takes for that personal encounter is one word from Jesus. When he says her name with such love and tenderness, he says, Mary. And she recognizes him. And immediately her grief is turned to joy. That's the kind of encounter Jesus longs to encounter us with in this Easter season. So if you'll turn in your Pew Bible or on your app if you have one, Pew Bible is page 906, is where our gospel reading is from today. John 20, beginning at verse 19, page 906. And verse 19 says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, this is the day of resurrection, on that evening the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jewish authorities. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. I think that's an amazing verse right there. How did he materialize on the other side of the door? I want to know. Am I going to be able to do that when I have a resurrection body? That's really cool. But despite locked doors, despite their betrayal, denial of him, abandonment, their desertion, their fear of the temple authorities that they might be arrested also, despite their doubt and confusion and disbelief, despite all their questions and disappointment and their hiding away behind locked doors, Jesus finds them and comes to them right where they are. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. This love of God that's seeking, searching out, passionate, compassionate heart of God comes to seek out and to save the lost. And his name is Jesus, the risen Jesus, the one whom the grave could not hold, the one who defeated sin and sickness and death, and who comes now to announce such good news to those who are hidden and locked away by fear and guilt, confusion and shame. Jesus' first words to them, peace be with you. It's a common greeting in his time, shalom. I know when I was in Israel, they even had plaques in the marketplace that said, shalom, y'all. I thought, oh, they must be talking to the people in the south. It's before I moved down here. Shalom, y'all, but shalom it is. And it's more than just a greeting in this case. This is peace, wholeness, forgiveness, compassion, love, well-being. It's all of those things rolled up into one in his greeting of shalom. But imagine yourself as one of those disciples of Jesus in that upper room with him that day. The last time you saw Jesus, he was betrayed by a kiss. He was manhandled. He was arrested. He was ripped away from you, taken into custody. And then perhaps you stuck around to see him carry his cross through the city or to be nailed to that cross while you hid in the shadows, maybe behind your cloak, or maybe you just denied that you even knew him. So what would you expect his first words to be to you if you were one of those disciples? I would expect I might hear, oh, ye of little faith. Or, why did you abandon me in my great hour of need? But no, no, Jesus just greets them with shalom. And it means peace, peace between us. Your sins are forgiven, all is restored, I love you, and I'm giving you my peace. There's no shame, there's no condemnation. And then in verse 20, Jesus showed them his hands, the scars that the nails made when he was nailed to the cross. And he showed them his side, which had been pierced through with a lance to confirm that he was really dead. One scripture commentator said this: Jesus showed them his wounds, perhaps to prove his identity, that he's really the same person who was crucified and risen, the same Lord. But also, she said, maybe it's also to witness to his solidarity with those who are wounded and those who are scarred by the crucifying realities of life. But in all of this, the disciples rejoiced when they saw, when they really saw the Lord and realized it was him. When they saw his wounds, then they knew. And their joy just filled them to overflowing. And they knew that they were forgiven and in right relationship with him and with one another. Such joy that you can't contain. And Jesus told them that, didn't he? He said, I will go, I will die, but you will have such joy. When you see me again, your hearts will be filled with joy. In verse 21, Jesus says to them again, peace be with you, shalom. Almost like a quiet your hearts. Listen up, I'm about to reveal something to you about what's next, something more. And I imagine he takes a pause, and then he says this, as the Father has sent me, just like that, I'm sending you. We hear that same word about 40 times in this gospel of God sending Jesus. And now the disciples are being sent out, just like Jesus. They're being commissioned to go forth. That and one as ones who are dependent on God and obedient to God. That, brothers and sisters, is the mission of the church. We are sent forth as Jesus was, to be completely dependent on God and to be obedient to God. And so because his disciples and we, the church, we cannot accomplish this mission on our own, Jesus breathes on them. He breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. They're going to need the Holy Spirit. They're going to need that power. They're going to need that grace to do what he's calling them to do, to be dependent on God, to be obedient to God. The gift of the Spirit is essential. We're not capable on our own as human beings of being that faithful. And then Jesus promised the disciples that they would not be left as orphans, but that he would send the Spirit to accompany them, to lead them, to fill and empower them. Breathing on them takes us right back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where it says, the Lord God breathed into the dust of the earth that he created and breathed life into a human being. And so Jesus breathes resurrection life, new life, into these disciples who had been up to this point terrified and not sure what was going to happen. And so Jesus breathes on them with the Holy Spirit, and then the very first work of the church that Jesus commissions them to do, and some would say it's the glue that holds the church together, the work that is truly impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit, is forgiveness of sins. To maintain the health and life of this community and its members, our witness to the world is how well we love one another. We need the Holy Spirit to love well, to forgive. We need God's power to loose forgiveness in our communities and in the world. Verse 24, but then there is Thomas. Thomas, who missed one of the best prayer meetings ever on the night of the resurrection. He wasn't there. And when he heard the other disciples talk about that gathering, he said, well, no, I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe it unless I put my hands in his side and my fingers into the nail prints in his hands. I can just see him doing this. I will never believe. And so Jesus meets Thomas right where he is. Jesus comes again a week later when Thomas is present. Comes into that upper room again. We don't know how, but he's present with them, even though the doors are locked again. And he says to them, as he especially says to Thomas, shalom, peace be with you. I see you, Thomas. I see right where you are, and I'm coming to you. And Thomas, go ahead. Put your hands right here, right into the nail prints. Put your hand into my side. Shove it into my side. I want you to believe. Keep on believing. Don't be unbelieving anymore. And Thomas is amazing. He's lagging behind the other disciples, but right here he shoots ahead in faith, all the way to the head of the class. And he gives the greatest accolade, the greatest affirmation of who Jesus is in all of the Gospels. He looks at him and he says, without even touching him, he says, "My Lord and my God." That's the highest affirmation of who Jesus is that we find, and it's really the climax of John's Gospel. John wants to gather us all up in this Gospel and say, this is what it looks like to believe. Yes, Thomas saw and believed, but you are all the ones that do not see with your own eyes, and yet I call you to believe. Believe because these people saw and they wrote it down. Believe whatever's written in the books about Jesus, all of those words. But these are for you, this encounter with Jesus, up close and personal. So Jesus comes for Thomas and he comes to Thomas. Jesus comes to us and for us as well, whatever state you are in. So for your own reflection or for your community group this week, as you meet together and reflect on this gospel reading, I've got three basic questions for you. Of course, there are many questions in each question, but here we go. First question is, where are you on the spectrum of not believing to believing? Where are you? Are you way over here going, you have to prove to me, I don't believe. I want to see, I want to know. God can handle that. Are you maybe just a little bit further down the line? I don't know, Jesus, I'm afraid. I'm hiding behind locked doors. I'm a little afraid of what you might say or do to me. If I believe, really. Maybe you're a little further down the line in that. Maybe you're a little closer to tentatively believing, but also doubting, going back and forth. Or maybe asking for a sign of where God is in your life. Maybe you're longing for a personal encounter. Maybe you're over here, you're actually receiving that shalom, that peace that God brings. And maybe you are really, truly believing without seeing. Where are you on this spectrum? And we go back and forth, don't we? But where are you right now, and where do you need Jesus to come and encounter you in that space? Because he'll come wherever you are. The second question is, how are you being sent out as Jesus was sent out by the Father? How is God sending you into the world in your day, in this time? And do you need the breath of Jesus upon you to impart the Holy Spirit in a fresh way, to do what he's calling you to do? Then just ask. Let him breathe again on you and receive the Holy Spirit. And finally, the third question is, do you need the grace of the Holy Spirit to know forgiveness for yourself or to extend forgiveness to yourself or to others? So where are you on this spectrum of belief and unbelief? Where do you need Jesus to meet you? How is Jesus sending you out in this day? And do you need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit? And do you need the Spirit to know forgiveness, to be able to extend it to yourself and others? I leave you with those questions for your groups, for your own thoughts in the days ahead this week. Jesus comes to each of us right now. He walks around in your pews and up and down the aisles. He meets you in the word that is spoken. He meets you right here as you put out your hands and receive his body and drink his blood. He meets you right there. He meets you in the laying on of hands and healing prayer, if you want to come up for that, during communion as well. He meets you in the brothers and sisters right next to you in the pew. He meets you in your friends, your family, and your enemies. He comes to encounter you. Is your heart open? Is your mind open to receive him? To receive his shalom. Let's pray. Oh God, we come to you today, however we are, because you said come. Thank you, Jesus, that you come to meet us right where we are. You seek out and you find us. Jesus, would you reveal yourself to us today in an encounter that we can't even imagine, that your love comes to us. So pour out the love of the Father, the love of the Son, the love of the Holy Spirit on each of us today, that we might know you and know you and know you to the depths of our souls. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.